Hallelujah. Mark 11, we're still in the order in prayer. And I would share something with us this evening along the lines of something I shared with the leaders. Now in Mark 11 first, where Jesus was in the temple. And then he said in verse 17, and he taught, saying. Now usually when you find a statement like that, it's not like he made that statement. He taught from that text, which means that he must have referred to a good number of texts, but that was the, you can say, the opening text. A taught saying. Now what was going on here was that the house of God, if you read the John's account, and then the Matthew's account, and the Luke's account, the four of them captured it. And the reason why they captured it is because the temple is big deal. In John's account, it says, my father's house. That's what he called it. In this account, it says, it's not written, my house. So, my father's house, my house. Now, the question is, why do we have different variants of it? Don't forget, it's a teaching. And when it's a teaching like that, John's emphasis will be different from Matthew's emphasis and Luke's emphasis and Mark's emphasis. So it's a teaching. But the core issue is he got into the temple and he drove out all of those who were selling. Then he stopped those who were bringing in things. Then he said this, or he said, in fact, some verses will say he made cords and chased them out. And said, and this is arguably the only time we find Jesus being kind of aggressive. He says, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. So he combines Jeremiah 7:11 and Isaiah 56 verse 7. So last week we said prayer is to bring order in the house of God. He said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. It's a house of prayer. But I'll just take us a little bit away from it, and then we'll come back to it shortly. You know, the Church of God, that's where we are, is a people of prophecy. We are a people of prophecy. What we call the Old Testament, of course you know what I mean by that, was named as a book of prophecy. Now there's a way we see prophecy more of a prediction. But prophecy is not just about a prediction. And I'm going to show it in a moment. Many times, for example, Luke 24 and verse 25, where Jesus speaking to his own disciples said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ, that the prophets, now he refers to the scriptures as the prophets, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, verse 26, and to enter into his glory, 27 says, beginning at Moses, and all the prophets, so that's the second time. He expounds them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then in verse 44, he says, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, Luke 24, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms. So we have prophets mentioned three times in that flowing passage, prophets, three times. So the Old Testament books is called the prophets. Again, in Matthew 5:17, think not I've come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill it. Again, he calls the Old Testament books the law and the prophets. In Matthew 22, and verse 36, when he asked him, what is that great commandment of the law? Then he said, "Hear ye, O Israel," I'm going to combine the Mark 12 part, "the Lord thy God," 29, 30, and 31. Then Matthew 22, verse 36, 37, "the Lord thy God is one Lord." Right? He said, that is the first, the greatest. Then he said to them, he said, the second is like the first one. "Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hangeth the law and the prophets." Okay? The law and the prophets. That's what he calls the Old Testament books. Now, if you read Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, that should be about verse 22 now, I think, where you have Peter speaking, and 24. "And all the prophets from Samuel," that's the Old Testament books, all the prophets, Acts 3:24. Then Acts 28 and 23, where Luke also records that Paul was preaching Jesus out of, and the kingdom of God, out of the law and the prophets. So no doubt another name for the scriptures. Now don't forget that when they are reading, they don't call it Old and New Testament. So what they had before them is called the Word of God. So another name for the Word of God is the prophets. Another name. In Hebrews 1:1, it said, "God who has sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets." He calls the Old Testament books the prophets. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 10, "Of which salvations," he says here, "the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who pours out of the grace that should come to you." He calls the Old Testament events the prophet. In 2 Peter 1:19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto as you do well as you take heed as unto a light that shines in the dark place, until the day dawn, the day shall rise in your heart." Knowing this first, verse 20, referring to the entire Old Testament, no prophecy of the scripture is of any part of the interpretation. Verse 21, "But prophecy came not in the old time by the will of men, but the whole holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Calls the Old Testament the prophets. Precisely again, Romans 1, verse 1, "I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, separated the gospel of God, which he had promised aforetime in the scriptures by the prophets," as in this, "concerning the Son Jesus Christ, who was made seed of David according to the flesh," it says, "declared the Son of God with power, by the resurrection of the dead, by the spirit of holiness," it said, "of whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations." Romans 1:1-5. Then Romans 16:25. Where Paul again, he calls the Old Testament the scriptures. 26. The scriptures of the prophets. The writings. And Moses himself was a prophet. So the scriptures of the prophet. The judges were also prophets. The scriptures of the prophets. The entire Old Testament is called the scriptures of the prophets. In Acts 26, when Paul was before Festus and Agrippa, he asked, "Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" That is the scriptures. Acts 26 and 27. In verse 22, he has said, "those things which the prophets and Moses said should come." So, the scriptures were called the prophets. So if I'm acting on the scriptures, I'm acting on the work of prophets. I'll come back to that in a short moment. So, the scriptures are called the prophets. 2 Timothy 3:16, "all scripture is given by inspiration of God," which lends credence to that, the inspired speaking. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, prophecy for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness." So, and Jesus also, maybe we should mention this, in Luke's gospel, chapter 11 and verse 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles. Some of them they shall slay and persecute. But the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of the generation from the blood of Abel. So he starts calling the men of faith from Abel down to the last person prophets. Are you here? Alright. So the writers of scriptures were called prophets. The scriptures are called the scriptures of the prophets. What was significant about, because to name the scriptures as the prophets has a particular significance that we lose sight of. The prophets were men and women, allow me to use that, who gave direction to God's people. And you know, we always think that the prophets were sitting down there talking about Jesus. Well, not really. They gave direction to the people. They gave direction to the people. That is, God's word was given by revelation. So, listen carefully now. If the prophet is one who speaks on behalf of God and shows his plan, right? Another name we can call the word of God is the plan of God. Okay? We say the gospel. The gospel is also the plan of God. In Galatians 3:8, it says the scriptures were saying that God was justified even through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And we saw that in Romans 1:1-2, you know, verse 2, which God promised before. So the gospel is also God's plan. Hebrews 4:1, let us fear, lest the promise of entering into his rest, any of you should seem short of it, for the gospel was preached unto them as well as unto us. But it did not profit them in that it was not mixing with faith in them that heard it. So God speaking about his rest was called the gospel, also called promise. Maybe I should also repeat what I've said before, that promise is not a to-do list, a wish list. Promise means a commitment. A commitment, an utterance. That's a commitment. So that's why even the prophecies are called his promises. All right. So promises, prophecies, one and the same. So the people of God were led by prophets who gave them the word of God and his plan. This is very, very good attention here. And his plan. So the prophet is the one who gives direction to the people. So when therefore we call the Bible or the scriptures the prophets, it means another way we can call it is the book of God's plan, God's direction, God's purposes, and his purposes. That's the Bible, it's the Old Testament in that order. Now, why is it so? Now, usually when we read that, the idea is the prophets just stood in their time and were talking about Jesus who come and die for our sins and all of that. That's really not true. Not at all. And so the scriptures of the prophets simply mean they provide a direction for us. They show us God's plan. God's plan. God's purpose. Who is a prophet? The prophet is the one who hears from God and then interprets to the people. He gives them God's direction. And it's not just about a future event, which also occurs, but it's about what God's saying now. So, the Christian church, in the early church, read the Old Testament as a book of God's direction. That's why I said to us that we must remove a me theology from our study of the Bible. I said to us, the study of the Bible should be a study of God's story. What's in God's mind? It's not a me thing. It's what's in God's mind. So the prophecies are not as futuristic as we think. No. That is if we read them in the context of the Old Testament. Usually, we make assumptions. We think, for example, that when the Old Testament prophet is speaking, he's speaking about Jesus some thousands of years afterwards. Not really. Many times that's not what happened. I'll give you a very straightforward one. In Matthew 1, when Joseph, a good example of the kind of husband a woman should have and the kind of wife a man should also have, who discreetly wanted to put away Mary, if he had sent it out on Twitter and says, guys, there's trouble. I'm sure the angel would have had more to deal with. And the angel said, don't be afraid. She has a child with the Holy Ghost. What's happening to her is of the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Now, let's look at what happened here. You have Matthew. Matthew is writing this down. And Matthew is writing this way after the event had taken place, because this was done after Jesus rose from the dead. So Matthew looks at that story of what the angel said about Jesus. Then Matthew says, this was done, Matthew 1, all these things was done that it might be fulfilled. Now, it wasn't the angel who said this. It was Matthew who wrote this, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying. Now, why is Matthew saying this? Because Matthew is aware that Jesus said he has not come to destroy the Lord and prophets, but to fulfill it. So Matthew says, something was said by Isaiah. And when Isaiah was saying it, Isaiah was not talking about Jesus. You've done that study, right? Isaiah was talking about something that happened in his time, when God wanted to set free, or let's say to make a defense of a kingdom against his invaders. Then it says, the Lord will give you a sign. A sign. Now, imagine if Isaiah comes to tell the king, he says, the Lord's going to give you a sign, don't worry, 2,000 years from now, a man will be born. He will be called Emmanuel. Then just tell us that God was destroyed. You know, that can be the sign. The sign was a child was born who was now called Emmanuel, God with us. God with us is God's signature of redemption and rescue and all of that in the Old Testament. So here's Matthew. Matthew is now looking at what happened to Mary and Joseph precisely. Then he makes a connection. And he says, this is according to plan. So he connects Jesus to it, not because Isaiah was directly talking about Jesus, but because Jesus came to fulfill the plan. So he connects Jesus with the plan. Isaiah wasn't talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Clear enough. Now, if that wasn't outstanding enough, in chapter 2, don't forget that Matthew is writing after the event. That means he's doing an hindsight. Which is, again, by the way, what I said on Sunday, that's why, you know, if you see that the Bible in our hands went through editorial work, which means things were made to, you know, be more presentable in grammar, in context, in proper syntax, so that we can understand it. And so, for today's preachers too, I tell them, look, it's not everything you first put out. If Jesus could have information he told his disciples, tell nobody, then if you are always on air, right, you are always doing live stream, there will be things that were not meant for the live stream. But you're already live. And brethren today, they do it for our own meeting. They will have copied it. They copy it. You can't say bring it. They have copied it. And they would have even used it. And there you are. That's for another day. So you have Matthew looks back. You know, we said that one of the ways we know God's leading is by hindsight, right? Just look like that was God. It's not everything you will first of all know ahead of time. But because you are led by God's Spirit, you walk in God's plan and look like that was God. And that happened to Joseph. So you have, Matthew now makes a connection. He says, now when he saw Jesus returning from Egypt, knowing fully well, and that information could have come to him in two ways. By what Jesus taught them in the 40 days, or just by making that application himself, having been taught. He saw, and that says, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Hosea, the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. He's referring to Hosea 11:1, but you and I know Hosea wasn't talking about Jesus. Hosea was not even talking about a future event. Hosea was referring to something that's already happened. But here is Matthew, he makes that connection. He says, this is God's plan. Jesus stepped into that plan. Are you here? So, the prophecies and the dot saith the Lord, oftentimes that's connected, is connected by the reason of being God's plan, not that that prophet was directing the statement at Jesus or at certain people that we're going to see shortly. So here is Jesus also on the cross. And he says, my God, Matthew 27:46, why hast thou forsaken me? Then you look back that those things came from the very lips of David. David was not talking about Jesus. He was talking about his own predicament. And in that statement, in his pain and predicament, he shows God's plan, because there was an entire psalm that came out of that. And that psalm is God's plan. So Jesus, in stepping into God's plan, stepped into the words of the prophet, the scriptures of the prophets. Are you here? You following this? Now, let's look at another one. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, here, they were going to replace Judas. Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, and they're going to replace Judas. They said, men and brethren, the scriptures must need have been fulfilled. Right? The scriptures must need have been fulfilled. Now, you know, the one we said about Jesus, you can easily say, well, you know, Jesus is God, and then the scriptures are about him, and you say we're Christocentric, and, but now look at this one. This one was about somebody else. And in Acts 1, it says, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas. Now, did David know who Judas was? No. Judas simply fulfilled something that was in the scriptures of the prophets. But the person that thing happened to was David. And David simply spoke in God's plan about what happened to those who acted in betrayal, walked away from God's course and plan. Then he says in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, verse 20. Let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. So what happened was Judas filled a space in God's plan meant for people like that. But what has the apostles done? What have the apostles done? They've connected those two things together, which we all forgot, but that's not our study today. The identification unifiers. This steps into this one. This one fits. This one fits. This one fits. Let's backtrack a little bit and see another one in Matthew 13. Now Jesus is speaking. The disciples are wondering, why is he using parables? Of course, in verse 34 of Matthew 13, he says it clearly that all these things speak Jesus in parables. At no time did he speak without parables, that it might be fulfilled That which was spoken by the prophet, that's Psalm 17 verse 2, I open up my mouth and speak in parables and utter mysteries that were hidden from the foundation of the world. You and I know that that prophet was referring to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But here we have, Matthew can see that Jesus fits into that plan. So in Matthew 13, the same chapter, Jesus is giving a parable and disciples are wondering why he's speaking in parables. Then he said in verse 13, therefore speak I, let's take that together, 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing, hearing, neither they understand. Now look at 14 slowly. That, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, we said by hearing, and seeing, and you shall not, 15, and and the eyes are closed, Now, this is Isaiah 6 verse 9. Now, was Isaiah talking about these guys? No. But these guys have fulfilled what happened in the days of Isaiah. They stepped into prophecy. The not too cool part of prophecy. They stepped into it and fulfilled it. Now, what had happened to these guys in the four gospels? Did it also happen to people in the time of Isaiah? Yeah. Remember in Matthew 19, when they spoke to Jesus about divorce, they said, for what cause can a man put away his wife? Jesus now said to them in verse 4, have you not read that which was, that he that made them at the beginning made them male and female? For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, cleave to his wife, shall one flesh, therefore there are no more twin but one, therefore what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Then they now said to him, why then did Moses give a bill of divorce, give a commandment for a bill of divorce to be given to her, to put her away? Jesus now said, Moses, look at that statement, because of the hardness of your heart. Now, Moses was talking to his own audience. Jesus is saying, that statement is also for you. So, look at the connection. So in Acts of the Apostles, on the day of Pentecost, when everybody spoke in tongues and prophesied, and people came around and wondered, what's going on? Peter said, these men are not drunken as you suppose, for this was the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, saying, in the last days, saith God. Now, someone told me one time, he said, well, you can see that Peter himself, he quoted out of context. He did not quote Joel verbatim. He said, in the last days, Joel did not say verbatim. I said, you have spiritual illiteracy and also some mental one too. Read Joel. Joel is a story of contrast. God talking to them about judgment in Joel 1 to some parts of Joel 2. We could just check it very briefly because I want to move away from this. Hope you are learning something. Joel 2. Now I love this particular Joel 1 because it was my first convention when I taught this. The theme was solemn assembly. Everybody was solemn. But they laughed outside. Don't say, I'm revived. And we joked after the revival. Now, he spoke about the nation of Israel. And he said, the day of the Lord cometh, Joel 2:1 is at hand, day of darkness. Then he spoke about Joel's army. People normally say, are you part of Joel's army? Go and read Joel's army. Is there an enemy army? Their face shall be pained. Then he says, a couple of the terrible day of the Lord. Then he said, but now, said the Lord, verse 12, turn ye now to me with all your heart and with fasting, with weeping and with mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God, for his gracious, merciful, slow to anger. So the thing now switches. And of great kindness and repent of evil. Who knows if you'll turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him? even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation. So he went on and on, speaking about restoration. Then he says, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts had eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillars and the palmerworm and the great army which I have sent among you. That is that enemy army. I will restore you for what they've done. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously, he says, with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Then he says, and it shall come to pass afterward. Now, you know, when it shall come to pass afterward, is like saying finally, right? Are you there? Aha. Finally, or at last, which is the word last days. Of course, the word last days is not original in the Greek. It's supposed to be last, eschatos, last. That is to bring this to a proper conclusion. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That is what we can now call. Now, the Jews know that that's what you call the first fruits. The Pentecost. Oh, this will come in as a fruit of it. Last. So when Peter saw that, and he says, the last days, said God, he's talking about that afterward. Which is the word eschaton. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Was Joel referring to Peter and the 12? No. Joel was talking to his own people in his own time. Was Joel saying something we've never seen before? No. In Numbers 11, Moses said it. When Joshua ran to him and said, yes, God said he'll take his spirit upon you, put it upon the 70, 68 are in the camp, two are outside, pastor, come and stop them. They are children's church prophesying. Moses said, are you envying for my sake? Would to God that all his people be prophets, that he will put his spirit upon them. Because in the Exodus, God had called the entire nation of Israel, my son. Exodus 4:22-23. He had called them a kingdom of priests. So definitely, Moses knew that. That when God said to Abraham, and he says, I will bless you and your seed, the whole nation. Abraham is a prophet, his whole nation. So, Joel was looking backwards. Moses was looking backwards. Are you following what I'm saying here? So when Peter saw what happened on the Pentecost, either because Jesus taught them or because he could make the connection, this is that. See another one. Acts of the Apostles chapter 4, when they were being persecuted, the literary version 1 according said, oh Lord God who made the heavens and the earth and has spoken by the mouth of your servant David. Why did the Ethiopian rage and the people imagine a vain thing and the kings and the rulers of the earth gather themselves against the Lord and against the anointed? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, Psalm 2. Was David speaking about Peter, James and John? No. But the people, the elders of Israel had fulfilled that prophecy. So which means, look up guys, that means a number of things are prophecies that don't expire. You don't expire. That one is gone, it's gone, it's gone. That's expired. No. No, it wasn't expired. In Acts 15, again, in Acts 15, when Paul and Barnabas had gone to the Gentiles, the apostles referred to the words of the prophet. They said, to these agree the words of the prophet, Acts 15, 15. After this, I'll return and build again the tabernacle of David, which is falling down, and I'll build again the ruins thereof, and I'll set it up. The rest of the men shall seek of the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, said the Lord, who does these things. They go back to prophecy. So which means the early church looked at scriptures for direction. What is God doing now? We can find it in the written word. Is that clear? We can find it in the written word. Now guys, let me see something. This says, come to church, I can say this again. Never check with the media what God is doing. Don't do that. I told you on Sunday, we're going to talk about Nigeria now. They say, you know what's going on now? You know, they said the things I just had. See, if you have been around for a few years, things are always hard. People are always complaining. Someone told me, said, you know, in those days, cement was 100 naira. This one, I said, did your father build any house then? He said, cars was, someone said, he said, cars, as soon as you leave for school like this, they'll give you a car. Did your father pick any car? We know how many had brand new cars in our time. So please. Okay? So I argue and I said, it's not bad. I said, that's not what God is doing, no. I'm sure on Sunday you brought in a new convert. That's what God is doing. TVC won't carry that one. CNN will say, oh, praise God. Breaking news. Breaking news. 14 people got filled with the Holy Ghost yesterday. They will sack the person immediately. So you cannot know what God is doing by checking with the media. By checking with the media. No, no, no. So you don't go on Twitter. Some people like that, their prayer point is inspired from Twitter. Eh? Ah, brilliant, we have to pray. Pray about what? We know what God is doing. Are you here? That's why we see most of those antichrist things is taken from the media. Whenever somebody getting very powerful in the world, is that person not antichrist? He's getting too powerful. For somebody even called Lionel Messi antichrist. I said, why? No, I'm not a Messi fan. You know that. Messi, M-E-R-C-Y, I am a fan of that. But the other one, I'm not. And I said, why? He said, how can a human being say he is greatest of all time? Don't let me go too far. I was going to say something in my mind. But you know, I said, no, that's ridiculous. What people lie like that? So we can know what God is doing by the written word. The written word is prophecy. Prophecy is God's plan. Now let me tell you how prophecy sounds. Prophecy and the promise are the same. For example, if I want everybody to go to, the one I used this morning was Ibadan. And I want you to go to Ibadan. Okay? So, and you want to get to Ibadan. So do you want to go to Ibadan? Ibadan is where getting to Ibadan is my plan. So I now show you how to get to Ibadan. I'll say, this is the road, the express road, the Lagos Ibadan express road. At some point it was not express, but it's fine now. Nothing express about saying 8 hours. That's not express. That's wilderness express. So you have, you know, this way. Now, when I show you the way there, that is a prophecy. That is a promise. That's the gospel. So if the plan of God is to always get to Ibadan, and I want to get to Ibadan, I simply go to that prophecy, the path to get there, the path to be there. And if also you want to enter into a ditch, I can do Google for you. Enter in. That's also part of prophecy. In them is fulfilled. So I show you the path. So the moment Jesus came, he knew what path to follow. The moment the apostles saw what was going on, they knew what path it was. So that road doesn't expire. Every time I want to get to Ibadan, I will take that road. Let me use that hypothetically. So scriptures are prophecy to tell us, to show us how to go, what to do. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus didn't coin those words. You will see them in the Psalms. You will see them in Isaiah. He didn't coin them. Going into all the world and preaching the gospel is in the Psalms. It's in Genesis. He said they move from nation to nation. And he said to them, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. The entire nation were called prophets. It was called prophets. So Jesus didn't coin it. He simply showed the prophecy. The prophecy is the plan. And this is the danger sometimes of saying, or the none too good things, is done, is fulfilled. No, finished work. I'm a finished work person, though I'm not finished myself. But the finished work, we kind of think is done by Jesus, but the apostles didn't say that. They saw scriptures as God's plan. This is God's plan. So if I get to any nation and I open the scriptures, the word of God comes alive to me. I don't see it like something in the past. Are you here? It's living and active. This is true today. This is the guide, the map. So as we are considering, we hear no voice. We have a voice. We know the plan. Okay? So, we can therefore call the scriptures written prophecies. Now look at it. This is for us. As the waters cover the sea, that's his plan. As the waters cover the sea, that's his plan. I see it's written. This is the plan. This is the purpose. This is the pursuit of God. I see it. Look at how Moses, when he gave them the Ten Commandments, he knew they were in a difficult world where there was male and female dichotomy, slave and master dichotomy. Then he said to them at the point, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What is the Sabbath day? He said, the day that the Lord created the heavens and the earth. Everybody knows what he was talking about was equality. That in the Sabbath, everything stops. All the dichotomy stops. All the differences stop. I'm great. Stops. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, he says that everybody, including your servants, rest. So they now have Sabbath year. They now have the year of Jubilee. In the year of Jubilee, what happens? Everything returns back to equilibrium. That is, whatever you used to have, you didn't have. Everybody who is owing, you go back to your former state. Everybody, so they are taking us back to Genesis. So Genesis for them was also prophecy. Genesis was plan. That is why the writer of Hebrews says, even though the works were finished from the foundation of the world, Hebrews 4 verse 3 and 4. So it's high time you and I take the written word as what? What else is that? God's plan. So when I take the word of God on my lips, I'm speaking God's plan. This is God's plan. This is his plan for the church, alright? This is his plan for the nation of Nigeria. This is his plan for Africa. This is his plan. It is written. Are you there? So we have the written plan that we can follow. Now, we also have the given prophecy. Now, the written plan validates the given plan or the given prophecy, where we now have specifics. Specifics. One example. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You are witness unto me, Acts 1:8 in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. So here is Peter. He stands up on the day of Pentecost and he says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Look at that. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Which means we're going to have God's guidance for the now. Specific revelations for the now. He says, your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. That's not the dream you sleep, when you sleep, oh. It's also vision. Another shade of vision. So now it says, upon your servants and the male and maidens will I pour out my spirit in those days and they shall prophesy. Wow. Which means what Peter is repeating here, pay good attention please, is what Joel said, if you have male and female do the same thing, and you have servants and masters, servants are not meant to lead or to give direction. Is that Sabbath? That's Genesis. That's the plan. Young and old, that's the plan. So there is now that capacity to give direction according to the written word, the written direction. So in the written direction, we find the direction for the now. So in Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, so chapter 8, yes, first, Philip goes down to Samaria, preaches Christ. But as he goes out to Samaria to preach Christ, Acts chapter 8, I'm going to show you. Then it says the angel spoke to him. Acts 8:29. The Spirit said to him, join these chariots. Now let me say this. You can't take that verse and go, where is the chariot? And you won't see the statement, join this chariot, in any other place in the Bible. So it is not written. That's the giving prophecy. Join these chariots. Join, can we say, join this chariot according to that which is written. Does it work? Join these chariots. That's specific, right? In Acts 10, Peter is prayed. The Spirit said to him in verse 19, three men seek you. So we have from the written prophecy, we now have what? Given prophecies. Given revelation. In Acts 13, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them. Written or given?
Given.
When Jesus appeared to Paul, written or given?
Given.
The girls, or the ladies, sorry, the seven daughters of Philip, when they were prophesying, given or written?
Given.
When Paul says, when we come together, if something be revealed to one that sits by, given or written?
Given.
But it is given based on what is written. You say, well now, and what is written and what is given give us direction. 1 Timothy 1:18, prophecies have gone before on thee, given or written.
Given.
That thou with them may wage a good warfare. Say, we're a people of prophecy. Say, we're a people of prophecy. Say, I'm a person of prophecy. So I can look at the word of God and take the scriptures as a prophecy. Prophecy as knowing God's plan. What's he doing with my life? Prophecy. What's he doing with our church? Prophecy. And based on that, we have the giving prophecy. Are you here? So, which means the written word, because prophecy is meant to give your life order. The written word and the spoken word, which is the given prophecy, are meant to put our lives in order. The order in prayer. The order in prayer, therefore, will stem from knowing God's plan. God's plan is the written scriptures. The order in prayer will stem from the written word. So, look at Daniel 9. Daniel said, he, Daniel, understood by the books. Now, which books is he talking about? Daniel is referring to the book of Jeremiah. By just reading Jeremiah as a prophecy, Daniel knew what God had to do, or what God wanted to do. Daniel 9. I, Daniel, he said, consulted the books concerning the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord, that come to Jeremiah the prophet. So what did he do? I turned my face to the Lord God, devoting myself to prayer and supplication, fasting, which means something is out of order here. How did he know? He saw the written prophecies. We will know what we should pray for. Written prophecies. He saw it. Now pay attention here. Jesus calls his own disciples and he told them, you are my witnesses, guys. Say, yay! Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16, 15 to 20. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then he goes, Luke 24, that's where I am. He says, behold, verse 49, I send the promise of my Father upon you. You know, people in the Holy Ghost ministry say, yeah, hallelujah! Oh, yes, Lord. And he says, but you will tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you endure with power from on high. Now, like I said earlier today, you know, that word, for example, we oftentimes miss a very vital fact there. You will wait. Now, if someone comes to you today and says, I'm waiting, say, no, no, you don't have to wait, which is true. In fact, you will knock the person's head and say, if you want to wait, go to Jerusalem and wait. Even if you are going to wait, they waited just for 7 days. And the guy gets filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a brother like that, Brother Solomon. He used to be in our church in the Bible. Still a friend. In fact, we still spoke a few weeks ago. If you watch it, it's not going to be a friend. You know, I like you. You know, so I've used you for many years. So we were walking together. I met him earlier in 92. We walked to about 92, 3, 4, and 5. So we now came. We were in the fellowship together. So I just noticed that there was something different about him. I said, bro, we are just praying in English since. I know, so we should pray a lot in tongues. What is going on? We should pray in tongues today. I just meant we're just praying in tongues a lot. You know, I just say, Father, 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 hey, I say, Oh boy, I was not it was a St. George school. I said, Bro Solo, what's happening? He said, he's waiting. Waiting for what? Speaking in tongues. Where did he get booked this in 1986? 10 years. That's why we laid hands on him. I made sure he was under the chair. So he spoke, he was not jumping off. I said, don't break the chair of Mr. Essen. In this place, he gave us free of charge. Now go and break chair. And they said, we should not come again. So he spoke in tongues. So that one, he said, you have to wait. You know, but there's something. Remember, there was another brother like that. That one was, oh boy, I tried everything. But Larry, so he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. I tried, I laid down. There was one evening I never forget. I fasted to get him filled with the Holy Ghost. Just him alone. So I was going there, you know, feeling the power of God. At Oriwu College, Sfield, YCF. So I laid the hands on him. That's how he's too late, dodo. I was so upset. And the way we look at you like... Oh, my God, I was upset. I was really upset, so I told him, I said, I'm going to take you to VCF in Ibadan. I said, bro, if you don't speak in tongues at VCF, it means that this is the will of God. Because I know VCF. They know Holy Ghost. If you don't, and it's good to have an identity like that. You know, if you don't, if this one is the end, though, say, let us go. That's how we left you could do for a bad dog, to go and speak in tongues. And so God be the glory. He sat just about this side. So Pastor Dak, that was set track. Pastor Dak just came in. I know this because we used to pray. I used to go from a Lauren to VCF to just listen to the word and go back. So I was sure. Because I've seen Holy Ghost. Meeting that will start by 6, think it's 8 o'clock, we'll finish by 1. Praying. In Jesus' name. We'll pray bodies. 1. He said, I will say pray. Hey, Jesus. So that's why we are here today. Those are the events. The person that left for this room, that's why he's not here anywhere. Yeah, I'm tired, you just go to your, that's how your destiny just slept off. That's what happens. You say, I'm tired, though. I can't do, you say, sit to it. The same person will wait for a flight, too. You say, they have moved the flight. You say, I'm going home. You stay there. Say 1 hour, 2 hours. They say, it's now 9:45. What is it? You still. It's now 10:45. These people are not looking, you are still waiting, no? The Holy Ghost wants to be saying, no, I'm going home. So as Pastor Dapo entered, the first thing he said was, that guy. I said, He just called him out. I said, no, it was that. No, I told you, I said, he doesn't do this in the end. It's not the will of God. It's not God's plan. After my fasting, there was one day, I held him like this. I said, Naughty Apple. I said, you can do it. You can do it. He just said, won't try. All right. You know, but look at what Jesus said, tarry. There was something about that we miss oftentimes. What it says to wait. What does it mean to wait? What did they do? They just sit down in their room and they were now checking their phones. Oh, when is Holy Ghost moving? It's not moving yet. Check your timeline, I should have moved. No. Acts 1. They were praying. What Jesus said to them, was it written prophecy? Outpouring of the Spirit? Huh? Good. What did they do with it? Verse 14. They continue one accord in prayer and supplication. The word supplication in the Greek there is deesis. It means strong petition. Strong petition. What were they praying about? The outpouring of the Spirit. What Jesus said. That's why when the new converts joined in Acts 2:42, he said they continued, right? Now, you know, if they were just starting privately, they would have just continued. That means what they were doing in Acts 1, continue in Acts 2. They continued steadfastly. Acts 3:1, the hour of prayer. Acts 4:2, they lifted their voice and prayed. Acts 6:4, will not leave the word of God and serve tables, will continue in, will give ourselves continually to prayer. And the ministry of the word. It's too consistent to miss it. Acts 9, Paul, when Jesus said to him what he was going to do, what did he start to do? Started praying. How did Peter contact, going to the prison to go to the Gentiles? He went up to the mount, to the rooftop to pray and fell into a trance. It's obvious that prayer gets us into God's plan. Written, or giving. Acts 13. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them. They didn't say, hallelujah. Someone just write it down. Separate me Barnabas and Saul. Wow. We will go and congratulate Barnabas and Saul. Congratulations, brethren. For that which is God. You are going to the nations. They say, come and worship for us now. Worship for us. Worship. Let's go to the place. And they just say, what are you doing? Say, we're celebrating Acts 13. Celebrating. Rubbish. They were praying. And when they received direction, they continued praying. What are you seeing in God's word? About your nation? About your church? About your fellowship? About your ministry? What are you seeing there? Can you see the connection? What you are doing now and what is written. Can you see the connection? Things said to your local assembly. As a leader, for example, a cell group leader, a house, a fellowship center coordinator, a church pastor, you should know prophecy. You should know prophecy. I tell all leaders, emphasis. Say that I know there's things God wants us to do at Saints Council Church, but you, in your cell group, when you pray, what's laid on your heart? You, in your church. Now, since you know it, because you have to, in this church you are trained to, what have you done with it? What have you done? Prayer. Now, I like to be careful with this, but I guess you'll get it. When the prophets of Baal, we saw it that last week, when the prophets of Baal, when they, you know, said Baal was God, and Baal was a big deal in the Old Testament, what did Elijah do? He first of all repaired the broken altar. And we saw last week that the altar was where the fire would burn how? Continue. Right? That's prayer. Because there were priests who were going to attend to it continually to ensure the fire doesn't go out. When the fire was going out, it's because the priests were not attending to their duties. We're priests of God. Are you here? And our job is to pray. When we pray, we keep the fire burning. Did you hear me? Don't complain about the members of your church. You are not called to complain. You're not called to grumble. You're not called to expect something big to just happen on its own. You're called to pray out the will of God, the move of the Spirit. I'm persuaded that we're in times of movings of God's Spirit. And it's not a call to post it or broadcast it or talk about it. It's a call to pray it out. God's given us His written word. And we know that His Spirit is moving in the earth, right? Now we now know specifically for us as a congregation, Saints Community Church. And I can say it also for your fellowship, for your PCF groups, for your cell groups, for your fellowship centers, for your churches. There's an emphasis you also have. You've seen it in dreams. Yeah. You've seen it in visions. You've heard it in a prophecy. You've sensed it in prayer. Never doubt what you sense, all right? The born of God, okay? Even if it's not clear enough, don't doubt it. Is that clear? You sensed it. Now, there's an order prayer brings. It's time to pray it out. Praise God. I told you on Sunday, we were talking about moving of the Spirit. I told Brother Tos what I said after, because we spoke afterwards. And I said, you know, you made birthdays revival centers. People were having birthdays and it was called Brother Tokes, come on Brother Tokes, say something. And then the whole place is jam-packed with the glory of God. You know, there are such initiatives coming to you. Praise God. And when I asked him what happened, as a fresh student of the University of Ibadan, just a few months in school, he said he just sensed the Lord wanted him to pray. And he began to pray. And he shut himself in. I can't remember how many months he said, but I think almost 6 months or more. He just took a fast and was just praying. And prayed out something that birthed many ministries today. I'm convinced that God is laying such burdens on people's hearts. In this meeting tonight, and people that are not even here today. You know, to take up the order of prayer, to keep the fire burning. Don't complain the fire is going out. You are the man. You are the woman. To keep the altar burning continually. In fasting. Someone say fasting. Fasting. Let me hear you say fasting. Fasting. Let me hear you say fasting. Fasting. Say it again, say fasting. Fasting. What's fasting? Fasting means to take time off food. Not just food. TV, amen. You are taking time off food, you are watching a movie. Plus one, minus ten. Take time off. Just do the necessary things. Get to work, do stuff with work and all that. But fasting is when you take time off luxuries. And you're spending time feeding on the word of God. And then you are praying. Hallelujah. You know, hear this. One thing is clear. We can never, ever be satisfied with the move of God. God wants you hungry all the time. May it never happen to you in your life and say it's enough. It's not enough. I said it's not enough. You know, they can give you food and say it's enough. It's not enough. Praise God. If you count people in your fellowship and the hall is filled, it's not enough. If you have healings and miracles happen last week, it's not enough. If you planted 5 churches already, it's still not enough. Praise God. Are you here? If you can see so many people in your fellowship, in your church, now astute believers, it's still not enough. I tell dissatisfaction on your heart tonight. You will never be satisfied with the move of God. No, not in your life. Never! Praise God. Never! No number is enough for you. Glory to God. Are you here? That's why Paul never told us to be covetous. But he said, when it comes to the things of God, be covetous. Want it more. Want it more. Want it more. So be careful of friends who say, but we have tried. No, 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 you can't be my friend. I want friends that will say more and more. More and more. Oh, more and more in prayer. Who say, well, I've tried. After all, last week I still did the vigil. No, there's more. God is stirring you to more. Oh, bless God. Oh, bless God. Oh, bless God. Yeah. Oh, it's stirring you. Amen. Stirring your heart for more. Stirring your heart for more. Right now. Yeah. Yeah, you see. You know, there are people who, and the way that the enemy works, he distracts you quickly. You got some things to do, business plans, marriage plans, you know, family plans, you got traveling plans, all those kind of plans. Just, then you now say, well, I'm trying. After all, I got someone born again last week. After all, I still did the vigil. I mean, that's not you. That's not you. Because you are always wanting more. That's not you. That's not you. To self-qualify, self-gratify, self, you know, you self-congratulate. I'm okay. That's not you. Praise God. There's more in your heart. There's greater room in your life for the moving of God's Spirit. Prayer sets that order. Oh, it sets that order. Oh, you are going to pray in tongues like never before. I'm saying you are going to pray in tongues like never before. In these days now that we're in, you are going to pray in tongues like never before. You are going to pray so much in tongues like never before. I'll close here. You're going to pray so much in tongues like never before. 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 And you're birthing new things. There's no birth that has no pains. There's no birth that has no sufferings with it. Oh, you're birthing new things, new things. Yeah. You're birthing new things. More. I stir in your heart hunger.